Welcome back to the Valley Collision Studio and the Bill Riley Show on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
Good to be with you today. It's a Jazz game day. Did you know that? Some of you may have known, some of you may not have known. It's preseason stuff and they're on the road tonight. Played in the wilds of Canada on Sunday in Edmonton. Tonight they're in Portland, a little less wild there. And trying to see what they've got. It's really a preseason about trying to fit pieces together. Our friend Eric Walden covers the Jazz for the Salt Lake Tribune, though he will not be in Portland tonight. Saving a little money up for the regular season is my guess. What's going on?
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
We never travel for preseason. So, but we are traveling for, tentatively right now, the plan is to go to every single road game in the regular season. So that's excellent news for our Salt Lake Tribune readers.
Well, yeah, you guys blew your preseason budget, you and Larson, going to Scandinavia this summer. So there's nothing left for the preseason. So you had to save it to the regular season.
I wish my Tribune overlords had paid for that trip. That would have been nice.
Yeah, Falk's a little cheap that way. We'll have to work on him for next year. So what was your takeaway from the game against the Raptors the other day over in Edmonton?
Really competitive first half, which I don't think is a big shock to anyone, from who watched the game. And then you really started to see kind of the flaws reveal themselves as Nick Nurse got a half to kind of analyze what they were doing and make some adjustments. The shooting and turnovers, I think you can attribute to, it being the first preseason game of a team with 14 new guys on the roster. You don't expect there to be a lot of, cohesiveness out there on the court. And I think a lot of the mistakes they made, you can attribute to that. Then again, it's like, I thought it was interesting that it's like, we've kind of gone from, man, this Jazz team is going to be terrible, to seeing the narrative like kind of gradually creep towards this team can't even tank properly. They've got too many talented guys to be among the true bottom feeders of the league. And yeah, they do have some individual talent, but what we saw kind of unfold in that game was the systemic flaws that are built into this roster. The defense is not very good. Other than maybe Walker Kessler down the road, they don't really have anyone who's a rim protector right now. The rebounding is pretty poor. I don't see anyone on this team who's going to be like an elite level rebounder in the league. I would guess maybe Jared Vanderbilt will be the best guy there. And, that's the guy who has never averaged more than 8 a game. So, the assist numbers surprised me a little in game one. I think there was an emphasis on passing the ball. We'll see how that continues because I think, I don't know, maybe Will Hardy can get that out of them. But I look at this roster and I don't see a ton of guys who are great passers either. So, I think this team is what we originally thought it was, which is, kind of a collection of really young guys, kind of a collection of misfit parts who played in the league. And I expect this team to be among, the 5 or 6 worst in the NBA this coming season.
Well, that's what it's built for, Eric. I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
Right.
They're building this roster to get some young guys that might be part of the future 3 or 4 years from now, get them some cohesion and chemistry, but then build this thing to lead the league in assists or rebounding or anything like that. They're trying to get some individuals, some good run together, and then everybody else, you just have to fill a roster out. So I'm with you. Again, anybody that's expecting this roster to have been built to compete, that's not the case.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone is expecting that. I think kind of the criticism that we're seeing to this point is people saying, okay, well, you want this team to be a lottery team. You want them to be bad, but like, is this team capable of matching – say the San Antonio Spurs for, sheer horribleness, because you look at a roster that's got guys who've had, not great success, but moderate success in the league in terms of, whether it be scoring ability with Colin Sexton, shooting ability with Lauri Markkanen, Jared Vanderbilt is highly regarded in some circles for being kind of a do-it-all switchable, defensive-oriented forward. And people look at this roster and they're saying, I don't know, too much talent, too much individual talent. And the thing you have to remember is, okay, you can have individual talent. Like, pretty much no team in the NBA is completely devoid of individual talent. But at some point, you know, the good teams are able to get those guys to play together and kind of, you know, have strengths and, you know, account for weaknesses and minimize those. And I don't know that this team is capable of doing that. So, yeah, in that respect, it's going to do exactly what Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck want it to do. You know, it'll be a team that will not win a ton of games, but which will not necessarily get blown out all the time. You know, it looks like they're going to play hard. It looks like they probably have just enough offensive capability to make some games interesting. You know, but yeah, at the end of the day, the idea is to be very bad, maximize your accumulation of ping pong balls going forward, and yeah, you try to get as high a draft pick in 2023 as you can, because, you know, one of the criticisms of the various trades that have been made is, oh, I don't know that any of those Cavaliers picks or Timberwolves picks or whatever are going to wind up being that good. And, you know, you can't count on that, but you can kind of put yourself in position to make your own picks as high value as possible. And I think we're going to see that. So I think a lot of the concerns that people have, you know, about, oh, this team is actually going to be a little too good to be, you know, truly horrible, and we'll have no shot at Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson or whoever the case may be, you know. I just think that narrative has taken off a little more than it ought to.
By the way, all this being said, it's also in some ways a learning, very much an on-the-job training year for Will Hardy too. I mean, in some ways, he's cutting his teeth. He's trying to figure out how to be a head coach. He's not stepping into a ready-made situation. So, you know, while this team's not going to be very good, this is giving Will Hardy a chance to kind of figure some things out on the fly too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and we saw some good examples of that in game one. You know, we saw multiple defensive schemes where in the lineups where they had Kelly Olynyk or someone else kind of manning the five spot. They did a lot of switching when they brought in Walker Kessler off the bench, who's a little bit more of a classic, you know, rim protecting center. They played a lot more drop big in their defensive scheme. We saw a lot more mid-range shots being taken offensively than I think we've ever seen under a Quinn Snyder offense, at least in the last 3 or 4 years, you know. So, yeah, you know, Will Hardy knows that he's been handed a not great roster. This is the reason why they gave him a 5-year contract out of the gate, with the idea that the roster would not be awesome to start with. But it gives him a chance to kind of start doing his own thing, to take the things that he learned under Greg Popovich in San Antonio and Ime Udoka in Boston and you know, even working alongside, say, Steve Kerr with Team USA. You know, he's trying things out. Like, these next couple of years are going to be great for him developing his preferred way of running things. You know, him kind of figuring out, okay, what schemes do I like best? You know, we saw him go away from a too small backcourt in game one, where he decided to start Malik Beasley at the two and bring Colin Sexton off the bench. I don't know that we want to read a ton into that. You know, it's one preseason game, but all these things that we're going to be seeing the Jazz do over this coming season, yeah, we're going to be learning about Will Hardy, what he likes, what he doesn't, and it'll be instructive for, you know, the years ahead when hopefully they've got far superior talent to match his aspirations for what he wants to do on the court.
Eric Walden's our guest here at the Bill Riley Show today on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700. Any rumblings, any rumor, any innuendo on some of the veterans, any more trade talk or moving along talk of guys like Conley or Clarkson or Rudy Gay or anybody like that?
Well, I thought the thing that came out yesterday in The Athletic was interesting. And for those who didn't see, I wound up writing a piece on the Salt Lake Tribune kind of summarizing. The vast majority of it was dealing with the Lakers ongoing efforts to trade Russell Westbrook somewhere, right? But kind of buried within there was a tidbit about the Jazz, and it's not news that the Lakers have talked to the Jazz about, you know, them maybe being a landing spot for Westbrook. We know they had interest in Bojan Bogdanovic. We know there were talks based on Mike Conley. The kind of the new and interesting tidbit that emerged from this article was that the Lakers had reached out about acquiring Jordan Clarkson, and that apparently Jazz owner Ryan Smith shut that down and said, I have no intention of trading JC. So that's interesting, right? Like, we know that there's a lot of affection within the organization for JC. He's been a tremendous fit both on and off the court since they acquired him from Cleveland a few years back. I know Tony Jones came on your show last week and said he thinks the Jazz are more likely to extend Jordan than to trade him. I don't know if I go that far. Like, it's great and all that Ryan likes him and wants him around, and he's a culture fit. The point of keeping veterans around at this point on a team like this is to have some guys with some institutional knowledge who can teach the young guys about the league. Now, technically, by being in his ninth year in the league, JC qualifies, but, you know, he admitted to the media, like, that's never been my role.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's never been in that position. Like, playing on the Jazz last year, he wasn't the guy to take youngsters under his wing, you know? And so he acknowledged, like, I think he used a phrase, something along the lines of, I have to learn how to talk to these guys and how to communicate with them, you know? And it's like, if that's the case, you know, is JC the guy you want to keep around as that veteran presence? Like, and I'm not disparaging him by any means. I love JC. I'm merely pointing out that's never been a role he's had. I'm not saying he can't learn it. I'm not saying he can't embrace it, but I don't know. I see these stories and I see this, you know, I hear these things about they really love JC, and I don't doubt it. But at the same time, you know, if there's one thing we've learned about Danny Ainge this summer, if he comes upon a deal that he thinks will make this franchise better down the road, like, he would trade his own mother in a second if that helped, you know? So do I think they want to keep JC? Yeah, maybe. Do I think he's untouchable? Nobody on this roster right now even approaches anything close to untouchable.
Yeah, nor should they. I mean, you if you traded your two franchise cornerstone players who you drafted to help rebuild, you can't get emotional about a sixth man who's not a mentor or leader for younger players. I mean, you can't do that. The Jazz aren't in that spot right now. If you can maximize the value of Jordan Clarkson, to me, you've got to maximize the value of Jordan Clarkson. Now, if you can't, you can't. I mean, I'm not advocating right. Dealing him for nothing, but if somebody offers you a first-round draft choice or compensation or whatever it might be, you've made the commitment to suck. You've made the commitment to be bad. You'd taking him out and adding an asset next year or the year after, to me, is not a bad idea.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it might just simply be the case that they haven't got an offer for him that they like. And the combination of that and, you know, kind of the internal care factor are combining, you know, to keep him here for now. But, you know, we have heard some of the new young guys kind of say that they've gravitated towards JC, and I'm not surprised by that. You know, he's certainly a unique personality, even in the NBA. He is a guy who people naturally gravitate towards. He's just, you know, kind of, I don't know. My wife has a term for when we're talking about, like, you know, celebrities or rock stars or whatever. She calls them sparkly people. You know, and for lack of a better term, Jordan Clarkson is a sparkly person in that regard. You know, people gravitate towards him.
Well, let's use a term you and I grew up with. Cool. Jordan Clarkson's cool. I mean, that's a term everybody knows. He's cool to the young kids. He's got fashion deals. He's a good basketball player. He seems like a good guy. He's cool. And younger players are going to gravitate toward people that are cool.
Yep, and that doesn't mean that he's necessarily the best choice to be a mentor for them or that he's capable of doing it. Do I think he'll try while he's here? Yeah, I do. You know, if that's something they ask him to do, I think that's something that he will attempt to do. But, you know, it comes down to this is a team that, as you mentioned, you know, is has made a pretty significant commitment to being terrible this year. And if they decide that, you know, the right package comes along, whether it be, you know, whether they simply decide that JC is making them too good, or they like the packages in terms of a future draft pick or whatever, I absolutely think that Justin Zanuck and Danny Ainge will be willing to trade Jordan Clarkson, and they'll be able to convince Ryan Smith of the merits of doing so.
Feedback, is the Metal piece hit yet?
The Metal piece, I need people to get on Aaron Falk and convince him to, like, finally launch this thing. It's been done for a week, and he apparently is waiting for the right time, looking to maximize readership. He might have just forgotten about it this morning, for all I know. But, yeah, you know, I'm eager for the Metal piece to get posted. Obviously, you know, I'm biased, but I think it's a pretty good thing. I think it'll appeal to Jazz fans because they get to learn yet more about Lauri Markkanen. I think it will appeal to youth fans because here's a former star of the program kind of telling people what he's up to now, and also throwing in a pretty great Rick Majerus story too. So, yeah, people need to tweet at Aaron Falk, tell him to launch the Hano story, get it online. It's going to be a subscriber-only piece. So when it does finally go up, so if you're not a Tribune subscriber and you want to read it, go to our website, sltrib.com/subscribe or sltrib.com/support, either one of those, and get signed up. And, yeah, let's get the ball rolling. Let's get the masses demanding the Hano Medela article that they all want and need.
By the way, I just saw this on ESPN this morning. If you're a Jazz fan, you might want to tune into ESPN2 tonight at 8 o'clock. Apparently, Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson are going head-to-head.
That's an interesting conundrum for Jazz fans. Do you tune into AT&T Sportsnet to watch the current team, or do you tune into ESPN2 to watch two of the guys who they are very much hoping could be a part of the team going forward for years to come? Conundrum, you know, the choice might be made for people on Comcast, depending on whether there's a Colorado Rockies game.
Exactly.
Or not, you know, so if that's the case, then I guess the choice is made for you. But for other fans who have other choices, I'm kind of curious about which they're more intrigued by, to be honest.
I'll be honest. I'd be more intrigued by the non-Jazz game only because I've only seen highlight clips of both these guys. I haven't actually seen them play in a full game, and I know they're not going to be matching up again. One's a point guard. One's a 7'5" freak of nature. But I'd like to see them in action. I mean, and no offense, there'll be plenty of Jazz games this year, exhibition and otherwise. So I'm probably going to lean toward the ESPN2 broadcast.
Well, I won't make an opinion just because I don't want to have to hear about it from Jazz PR be advocating against people watching their game. But, you know, I'll just say you make a compelling point there, Bill Riley.
So you have a return button or a last channel button. You can wear the hell out of that thing tonight. Just go back and forth on commercials. One game goes to commercial, flip to the other, go back and forth that way. You can watch. Or if you have one of those super-duper nice TVs, do the little picture-in-picture and watch them both.
God, technology is a brilliant thing in this 21st century, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I'm old enough to remember when there were black-and-white TVs. I am. I was a kid. I had one in my room. Now, we had color at my house, but I actually had a black-and-white TV in my room, which was a pretty big deal. No cable, just the antenna, but I did have a TV in my room when I was like 11 or 12, and it was black-and-white, so there you go.
Yeah, I did not have a TV in my room growing up, but, you know, we had one of those where it was like, I don't know, 7 channels, including PBS or whatever. something that as a child you're not heavily interested in watching, you know. So, yeah, I'm getting up there too. God, man, we're old. Oh, and it sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I did some yard work this weekend, and I was feeling it for 2 days after, and That's a terrible way to live, Bill.
It's never a good sign when you have to stretch before you do yard work. When you have to stretch out literally before you pull weeds and mow the yard, that means you are definitely getting old.
Yeah, for sure. Really, all I had to like make myself feel better after the fact was, well, you know, it was a few things. One, my Atlanta Braves have completed their, well, have almost completed their destruction of Tony Jones' beloved Mets. My Philadelphia Eagles remain far superior to Tony's NFC East rival Commanders, and I guess ESPN 700's own Porter Larson's Cowboys. Eagles remain the only undefeated team in the NFL. So, you know, Braves are doing well. Eagles are doing well. I'm going to be back on the road covering Utah Jazz basketball. In spite of some aches and pains, life is good, Bill.
I'm not sure that anybody takes more pleasure in Tony Jones's pain than Eric Walden does, but that's a good thing.
I had someone tweet at me the other day, why are you ripping on the Mets? And I'm like, you must be new around here. Like, this is a years long thing. And I appreciate that compliment. I take that as a compliment, and I work very hard to give Tony endless amounts of crap for his teams of choice respective failings over the years.
So the Mets will appease at any point in time here when Falk decides to hit send and publish it, and then what's after that? Anything else?
That's kind of the big thing that I have coming up. Other than that, we're just kind of trying to figure out how do we go about covering, you know, a Utah Jazz team that, you know, will be most successful by being unsuccessful. So I think it'll just be for the next little bit, kind of, you know, learning this team, getting to know some of the guys on the roster, kind of seeing what they're about, giving the readers, you know, little trend updates as they develop. And then once I learn the players a little better, because honestly, you know, it's still kind of very much a getting to know you type situation. I'm sure someone will jump out and I will have my next big feature planned down the road.
That's Eric Walden. Find him on social media, harassing Tony Jones, and find him at sltrib.com writing about, by the way, the piece is about Hanno Mettola, but it's also about Lauri Markkanen, the man that plays for the Jazz that Hanno coached growing up. So you want to read that as well. Thanks, Eric.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Eric Walden with us here on the Bill Riley Show today.